Thank you, guys. Well, good morning, everybody.
Morning.
If you're here by force, don't tell me. If you're here by choice, that's awesome. I'm about to ask you to do something for me that you'll have never been asked to do before in church. So just hold on just a second. Let me do a little bit of house cleaning. No, that's not true. Whatever. You may be wondering, what happened to children's church? Well, we're not having children's church today because we're having lunch in the children's church. And so they're setting up for lunch. So today we get to keep all of our kiddos with us. And that's going to be okay. It's going to be good. Also, I want you to do this. If you're a guest today and you say, Jimmy, what does a guest mean? If you're new with us today, or if you've been new with us, say, for the last 4 or 6 weeks, I would like to invite you to do something for me. In the pew, you see these cards. If you'd pick one of those up and fill it out to the level which you're comfortable. This morning, no one knew I was going to do this, but I've got 4 gift cards I'm going to give some of our guests to local eating establishments. So if you'll fill that out, and I'll tell you how to share that with us after a while, that's how I'll be able to give those cards away, okay? Also, you want to hold on to these. There's some in front of everybody, so you want to hold on to those. You're going to need those in a little bit. Now, I'm about to ask you to do something that you've never been asked to do before in church. Everybody get your phone out and turn it on. Come on, get your phone out. Micah, get your phone out. What are you staring at me for? I will come down there. Guests I won't strike, but my own I will. I guess I shouldn't say that given current events. I retract that statement. Don't call. So you're going to need that. So sit that down, and you're going to need that here in a minute. Make sure it is on silent, because I can't be upset with you if it rings, because I just asked you to turn it on, but it can be on silent. So today's notes are available, as each week's notes are, in YouVersion. And, or are they? There we go. Are available in YouVersion. So if you use that Bible app, there's a live event going on there, and all the notes that you see here this morning are available for you there. Today's message is entitled Finding a Friendship That Fulfills Life's Needs. Today is National Back to Church Sunday. And someone asked me, said, why isn't every Sunday Back to Church Sunday? Well, it can be. But what we found is two truths. Is one, statistics tell us that over 80% of people would visit a church if they were invited by a friend, a family member, or a coworker. That's a high percentage, right? And so National Back to Church Sunday is to encourage people to invite that 80% who said they would come if they were invited. Now, the other side of the challenge is this. Statistics also tell us that only about 2% of Christians will invite a friend, a family member, or a coworker to church. And so National Back to Church Sunday was established to give additional motivation to those folks to go out and invite someone to come to church, maybe for the first time, maybe for the first time in a long time, right? And so that's what today is all about. And if you're new to us today, different churches do different things on this day, but what you see here is kind of what you get. Now, we don't serve lunch every week, although we might could, but we don't serve lunch every week. But what you see is what you get. We're not really putting on a bunch of airs. We're not putting on things that you wouldn't see every week. So what you see is what you get, and I hope you really enjoy what you're going to experience here today. So we're going to talk about friendship today. Jennifer Aniston was quoted to say this, "Where would you be without friends? The people to pick you up when you need lifting. There's nothing like a really loyal, dependable, good friend." And that is true, isn't it? Now, let's look at some fun friendships that I've seen. It's interesting, when I found this photo, the first thing I thought was, I wonder if that's two, a male and a female, because they both have little mohawks there. You see it? That's the world I live in. I saw the mohawks before I saw anything else. But I'm thinking those are both females because the fingernail there. So anyway, that's the world I live in. How about this one? A little throwback. Lucille Ball and Ethel, right? Yeah. Ethel always got drug into trouble with Lucy, right? I mean, just classic case of friends. Now, this doesn't cost you anything extra. One of the things I've noticed is we used to have friends that were two people, but I've noticed a lot, especially of the television and movies, It's no longer two people, it's a group of people. Have you noticed that? So when you watch TV, when you see friends, it's not just two people hardly anymore. It's a group of people. It's a very interesting switch in dynamic. How about this? How many of you remember Fred and Barney? Way back, yeah. Only the Muppets go further back. Seinfeld, one of the greatest shows ever written. Right on, Todd. You know, think about your favorite episode. One of mine is, "No soup for you." Next. Love that. You never watched it? Well, your life won't be complete. But a great show with friends. How about this one? Yeah. See, I knew the kids were going to be in here, right? Hey, how about that third one to reach in and just rip the heart out of all of us adults, right? Love that one. How about this one? Yes. There is a song that will stick in your head. I am telling you, SpongeBob SquarePants, right? Now, how about this for a weird friendship? This is the dictator of North Korea and Dennis Rodman. Where does this friendship happen? I don't know. I put that in there just to realize. And also, the guy in the top left must be traveling with Dennis because he didn't look like any of the others. But anyway, he doesn't. No, we're not going there today. No. And how about this? The show that put nerds to number one. They're about to start a new season. What a great show this is. And they almost didn't come back. They had big contract negotiation issues. They almost didn't make it back on TV. So, but a great show there, huh? Oh, I heard a gasp over here. Okay, how many dudes know who this group is? Okay, I see that hand. Okay. How many of you two dudes watch it because your girlfriend watches it? Okay. All right, let me ask you this. How many girls know who this group is? Okay. Now, for those of you who are new here at Authentic Life, we believe in being authentic and transparent. So I'm about to confess to you something. I am completely understanding of Pretty Little Liars because I used to watch it with my daughter. So I'm two seasons behind now, love. Yeah, I'm not going to catch up, but I used to be on. I never thought it'd last. I mean, how long can M run? I mean, we need to have just that conversation on Facebook, right? And how about this one, huh? For everybody else, surely somebody, I touched everybody with a good friendship here. Now, I'm about to ask you to do something you've never done before. Get your phone out. And as we've talked about good friends, you've thought about your good friend. I hope that you have one. If you don't, you can use me as your default. But I want you to take your phone out right now and go to your text. And I want you to take just a second. We're not writing a novel here, folks. I'm on a clock. Lunch is cooking. Just send a note. Hey, thank you for being my friend. Thinking about you. Something short like that. I knew I was going to do this, so I went ahead and typed mine. And so, boom, I just sent mine, okay? So let's do that real quick. And there. So I'll give you just a second. I should have gotten some texting. I promise you, nowhere else in this entire town did the pastor stop down and encourage you to send a text during church. I claimed a never done before thing in church, and we just did it. So, all right. Well, let's go ahead. Today's focus passage can be found in the book of James, the second chapter and the 23rd verse. James is the half-brother of John, and he's talking about friendship with God in reference to an Old Testament saint, Abraham. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. Question, what makes a good friendship? Now, this is the interactive part. Just like a one-word characteristic. And you can just kind of shout that out. What makes a good friend?
Football.
Okay. I don't have time to expound on that, but we'll take football. How about over here, somebody?
Trust.
Very good. Over here?
Loyalty.
Back over here?
Consistency.
Back over here? Kindness. I know, they take your stuff all the time. Back over here.
Honesty.
Over here. Y'all are having too much fun over here. Love. Okay. Over here. You're out. Common interest. Okay, I forgot about the peanut gallery in the middle. Over here. Faith. Okay. Those are good. Let me show you what the survey says the top 10 musts for friendship is. Number 10 is toughness. You know, if you're going to have a good friend, they need to be tough. Sometimes, you know, they have to be tough and fight through and be your friend, and sometimes they have to be tough on you. How about non-judgmental? Now, let me ask you a question. Does non-judgmental mean they always condone or agree with what you do? No. No, you can be non-judgmental and disagree. Now, in the United States of America, that's getting to be a very thin margin, it seems, but that's another topic. But non-judgmental, kindness, we had that one come out. Consistency. Don't you want a friend to be consistent? That's an important thing. The sixth most important is encouragement. You want an encourager. You don't really need a friend that's a downer. Not all the time. You know, because you're not going to call them very often. You know, it's a very rare occasion someone goes, I am having such a great day, I need to be brought down just a little bit. How about this? Respect, support, top three, love. And let me back up with love. Love is a choice. Love's not a feeling. Love's a choice. You choose to love people. Honesty. You want a friend who can be honest, even if they disagree with you, to be honest. And lastly, number one is trust. So with those things in mind, I thought of a few more things that make a relationship, a friendship, a good one. First is you have to understand your role in the friendship. If I could quote the old WWE wrestler, you know your role, jabroni. You got to know what your role is. You like that? Thank you. Thank you. I stayed up all of like 10 seconds thinking that one up. You've got to know what your role is. Now, we can have different kinds of friendships, right? You can have friendships at work. You can have friendships around athletics or around your children's athletics. You can have friendships from collegiate days or high school days. You just need to understand what your friendship is and what it isn't, because they're not all going to be the same. And here's the truth, is we're all not going to be best friends. We can all be friends, but we're not all going to be best friends. It's just a part. Understanding our role in the friendship is very important. The ability to listen. Now, the ladies say amen, and the guys say, oh me. The ability to listen. If we're going to be a good friend, and what we would measure a good friend to be, is they need to be able and willing to listen to us. Now, I can tell you from my own personality, that's very hard for me. I should have two mouths and one ear, because my personality wants to talk twice as much as I listen. I'm a fixer. And if you need to ask somebody, she's sitting right there on the second row. I'm a fixer. And fixers sometimes don't listen. We just want to fix. You tell me you need something. Well, let me fix it. But you're not really asking me to fix it. You just need someone to listen. But you need to be a listener. And that's very hard. Because one, we're losing our ability to listen. You know why? Because people have stopped talking to each other in lieu of texting. And texting is not talking. I don't care what the teenagers say. It's not the same. But the ability to listen is so vitally important. Don't give too little. Have you ever had a friend who wanted to be best friends, but they didn't want to pay the price? They didn't want to put in. They didn't want to give you time. They didn't want to give you energy. They didn't want to necessarily maybe invest finances. Sometimes, you know, a good friendship will cost a little money, some, you know, here and there. But to give too little, you don't need a friend that's going to give too little. You know, and you don't want to be a friend that tries to get out on the cheap. A good friendship, listen, a good friendship's going to cost you a lot. That's just the truth of it. And to be a good friend to someone, it's going to cost you, and you have to make that decision. To be honest, we talked about that. That means, you know, being honest and telling that friend and that friend understanding that you're going to be honest. And, you know, we joke a lot around here, but, you know, I'm going to be honest I'm not gonna do anything inside the bounds of my friendships that would dishonor God or call into question my character. My friendships, I'm gonna be honest in my friendships. Zig Ziglar was a great communicator. He went to be with the Lord about a year and a half ago. Zig Ziglar was a leading spokesman for leadership, for character, for honesty. He was a prolific writer. He was also an incredibly talented Bible teacher. And Zig Ziglar tells us this: honesty and integrity are absolute essential for success in life in all areas. The really good news is that anyone can develop both honesty and integrity. And that's good to know, because I know in my life, I haven't always been those two things. When I was a much younger man, I wasn't those two things at 100%. I'm a much more man of honesty and integrity today than I was some time ago. And we all can continue to grow that, okay? Another key to friendship is set boundaries. Know what the boundaries are in the friendship. What are you willing to do? What are you not willing to do? It's a very important thing to understand the boundaries of a friendship, because when we cross over those boundaries, it causes tension and strife. To be dependable, that I'm just going to let that stand on its own. So let's review. The keys to a good friendship is understanding your role. Listen. Don't give too little. Be honest. Have set boundaries, and be dependable. Now, let's see what God says. Now, we've talked about friendships on the horizontal. That's this way. That's your coworkers, your friends at work, your friends at the athletic field with your kids or your athletic fields, and wherever it is you go. Those are the horizontal friendships. Now, let's take just a second and consider the vertical relationship. Let's look at what God is in light of our definition of friendship. John 3:16 tells us this: "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." So what does that say about God in the light of friendship? Well, let's review. You have to understand your role. God is telling us that we are lost. Or in other words, we are not friends of God because of sin. Now, that's a bad thing. I don't know anyone. Well, let me back up. I can't say that. I actually do know someone. Most people do not want to be an actively and intentional enemy of God, although some may. To listen. We need to listen to what God has said. John 3:16 tells us what? God loves you. For God so loved the world. He's not talking about terra firma, the dirt. He's not talking about the trees and the puppy dogs and the butterflies. Jesus died for you and for me. God loves me and God loves you. Don't give too little. What did God give to establish the friendship? He says he gave his one and only Son. Now, I don't know about you. That's a pretty high price for a friendship, isn't it? What would we give to a friendship? I love you guys, and my son's sitting right up there running the webcast this morning, and I got to tell you, I don't know if you could talk me into giving my son for you. And it doesn't mean I don't love you, but I love him more. But God gave his one and only Son to give opportunity of friendship to us, to him. That still boggles my mind. We must be honest. You must believe. God says you must believe in what? We're going to talk about that in just a moment. You have to set boundaries. John tells us that God says that if we believe in him, we'll not perish. Well, what does that mean? We'll talk about that more in just a second. And lastly, we have to be dependable. Even in our song set leading up to the message this morning, we talked about the trustworthiness of God. Now, part of the challenge that we face is we take our experiences and our friendships and relationships on earth, and we project that experience on God. Now, dads, I just need to be perfectly honest with you right now. How you conduct your life towards your daughters will have a direct influence on how they see God. Because they see a man of position of authority, and if that is abused, neglected, or otherwise, if my earthly father is this, then my heavenly father must be that. You say, well, that's unfair, Jimmy. God didn't ask us if it was fair. It's just the truth. And so it's vitally important how we as men live our lives in front of our children and around our spouses and others, because our society projects their experience towards God. Now, what's interesting is this, is it's perfectly natural, but it's perfectly unfair, isn't it? Have you ever been held accountable for what someone else did? How unfair is that? I once visited with a person, and they, it was actually a day like much like today, and they said, you know, I'm angry at God. I don't want to have anything to do with God. And I said, well, tell me why. And they said, well, I used to go to church, and they started going through the laundry list of why they didn't, you know, all those things, and there's some validity in there, yes. And my answer to that question was this: how unfair is it for you to blame God for the foolishness of men? It's not fair. But yet and still we do it. But my friends, let me tell you this, not based on who I am, but based on who God is trustworthy. He is willing and able and desirous to be your friend. So let's look. Romans 5, 7 through 8 says this: very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love. For who? Say it with me. For us. Let's say it again. For us. One more time. We almost got it. For us. While we were still sinners, the emphasis there I placed in, enemies, Christ died for us. That God demonstrated his love for me, that while I was still an enemy of him, his son died for me. Wow. Now I love you guys, and the truth is I might be more inclined to give my son for you than I would, let me just pick somebody, Charles Manson. Or that lady who just this last week paid the ultimate penalty because she starved a child to death. I just got to be honest. I don't have a high level of motivation of giving my one and only son for them. I could entertain it for you because I love you. Paul's telling us that while we were still enemies of God, Christ died for us. Why? So that we would have a pathway to peace with God. God wants us to have the opportunity to be his friend so much that he gave his son for us. Well, Jimmy, okay, now help me understand. How can I become a friend with God? Do I need to write a check? No, you can't buy friendship. Okay, well, tell me the attendance and church requirements. No, I'm sorry, attendance won't establish it. Okay, just tell me what denomination to join. I'm sorry, denomination won't get you there. Okay. Which translation of the Bible do I need to read? That won't get you there either. Well then, Jimmy, what am I supposed to do? How can I become friends with God if the amount I give or the Bible I read or the church I attend or the denomination I claim won't get me over the hump? You guys ask great questions. It's as easy as ABC. The Bible says, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. A, we must admit that we're sinners. Now, that may really rub against you a little bit, and I understand, because I can remember a day when the word sinner used to rub up against me like sandpaper. Let me explain to you what the word sin is. The illustration that we have for the word sin is like an archery term. Do we have any bow hunters or bow advocates here? All right, back there. One, two, three. All right, so I just need to know who to watch. Okay. But here's what it means. Is if you're in an archery contest, and you set the target up, and obviously the goal is to put the arrow in the bullseye, that's the best, that's what your goal is. In Olympic contest, I can't remember how far back, I think about a decade ago now, in one contest where a target was involved, a European marksman actually put 40 shots in a row in the bullseye. And you say, that's amazing. That is amazing. And they won the medal far, far and away, hands down won the medal. But you see, the problem is the one just before the 40 started and the one right after the 40 ended. You see, the Bible is telling us that sin is when we miss the mark. You see, the precise geometric center of that bullseye is perfection. And could you hit it? Yeah. Physically, you could hit it. But could you hit it every time? Every time. And you see, what the Bible is telling us is that we are sinners. Why? Because God has a bullseye, and that standard is perfection. And as hard as we try, we'll never reach perfection. We can have better days than others. And the Bible teaches us that what if we only just sinned once? Once is enough. And it's not that God measures sin like we do, murder versus lie. It's interesting. Notre Dame University, did they win yesterday? Did they play yesterday? Does anyone even care? Okay, they don't. Okay, that's okay. Notre Dame University just released a study that they did on lying. And what they found was this, three things. One is that people who tell the truth have healthier and happier lives. And I'm going, duh. They said that they sleep better, they have better health, they have better psychiatric stability, they have better friendships, they succeed in their work environments more often. And I thought, yeah, just read the book. I mean, how much money did you spend? You could have sent that to me and I'd have told you. But what they did find on top of that was twofold. One, may I help you? Are you leaving? Listen, you're not old enough to drive. Hey, let's give Jared a hand. Somebody much bigger than him sent him in to do that, so I give him credit. Anyway, but they found threefold truth in the study at Notre Dame. One is that those that tell the truth live happier, healthier lives. Second is this, is that the average person in the course of 1 week will tell, on average, 10 lies. That's a little troubling, isn't it? And how about this one? They found that the average individual on any given day will be told up to 200 lies. Wow. Now, Chris and I are the only two in our office, so that means everything we say is a lie.
Amen.
I mean, we can't even find truth in our office. But you see, the measure of truth is not based on a bullseye. The measure of truth is measured on God's holiness. And what God is saying is that I am holy. That means I'm perfect. And if you are going to meet my standard, you too must be perfect. And my friend, here's what I found to be true. Is I disappoint myself. Have you ever set a goal for yourself and missed that goal? I mean, I have. Have you ever had a diet goal or a savings goal or whatever it is, and you really want to achieve that, you really have a passion to achieve that, it's really important to you that you achieve that, but at the end of the day, the week, the month, the year, or whatever, you don't achieve it, that's sin. And so logic tells me that if I'm unable to 100% of the time live up to my own expectations, this isn't as hard to believe. Now let me take it one step further. Have you ever disappointed someone else? Oh, man. So logic tells me that if I cannot live up to my own expectations, I'm setting the bar. And I cannot live up to the expectations of everyone around me at 100% clip. That for me to not be able to live up to a perfect expectation of God seems absolutely logical, doesn't it? And the Bible calls that sin. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We are imperfect people who are trying to build a relationship with a perfect God. Secondly, it says this, we must believe in Jesus. Jesus said earlier on in the book of John, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is vitally important, because if Jesus is not telling the truth, then he's either misgiven or he's lying. That's the only three options we have. So the question we have to answer is this, is, do we believe in Jesus? Not just that plastic that sits out in front of the house at Christmas time, but the biblical, historical man, Jesus. We must believe in Jesus. That he lived a sinless life, that he died on the cross for your sins and my sins, and equally as important is that God raised him from the dead on the third day. That's what Easter's all about. You must believe. You must admit. You must believe. And then see, we must confess. This is a legal term. This is a portion of the definition taken from the State of Texas Law Review in defining of confession. Confession is an admission of guilt by the accused party. It must be freely and voluntarily made after the accused is made aware of his or her rights. You say, what does that mean? Well, here's the truth. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And it goes on to say this, that the punishment for sin is death, eternal separation from God. Now, confession is simply this. When you understand what your rights are, you get to choose. Now, this is the amazing thing about God. Is God would have the power to make you choose him. But love is never made. Love is a choice. And God says that I love you so much that I gave my Son to die for you even while we were still enemies. And oh, by the way, if you choose, you may remain an enemy. But understand, if you choose to remain an enemy, there will be accountability for that choice. But you do have the choice. We must confess our sins. We must come into agreement with what God says. And that's kind of hard at first. But the more I understand and the more I know God and the more I love God and the more I understand God's love for me, it's not hard at all. It's very easy for me to agree with what God says about me and about our world. So, the question we have to ask is this. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Parentheses, my emphasis. You can be a friend of God. So today we each have a choice. We can either remain an enemy of God, and that's your prerogative. God says, I love you anyway. Or we can be a friend of God. So the question we need to ask very quickly is this. Would you like to become a friend of God? I've already told you what it's not. And I hope I just thoroughly and simply explained to you what it is. It's simply understanding who you are, the condition that you're in light of the holiness and love of God. And today he says, I'd love to be your friend. I've done all that I can do. God has done all that he can do to be our friend. We just simply have to choose, will we be his friend? And so I would like to ask you today, my friends, are you a friend of God? Not based on what you do or you do not do, not based on what denomination that you may hold dear, not based on what translation of the Bible you might have preference for, but are you a friend of God based on his terms, not your terms? And if you're not, my friend, why not today? I'm not asking you to join this church. I'm not asking you to give us a dime. I'm asking you today, would you be interested and willing to take a step of faith and become a friend of God? And the rest of it we can help you fill in. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer, shall we? Everyone, heads bowed and eyes closed, just briefly. I'm not going to take long at this because you'll decide yes or no. You probably already have. My friend, I would ask you today, are you a friend of God? Based on his terms, not yours. You do not get to take the terms. And if not, would you please consider being his friend today? I made that decision over 26 years ago. And I can honestly say I haven't regretted it once. I will honestly say this, it's not always easy. And I can honestly say this, not every day goes the way I think it should go. But every day with Jesus is better than a day without him. I can say that with absolute certainty. So today, my friend, I would just simply ask you, would you consider becoming a friend of God